Good evening, everyone. I apologize in advance. My voice is hanging on by a thread. I blame two things. Firstly, a cold, but also the community choir. I've been singing bass, which I think I'm in a better position to do now, but there we go. Tonight, we're ending our series in the book of Proverbs by turning to chapter 30, which is on page 666. And to help us this evening, I think it's probably worth pausing just for a minute and just considering why we're jumping to chapter 30, because last week we were in chapter 9. So let me just for a minute kind of explain a little bit about the structure of Proverbs, and hopefully that will help us. So chapter 1 to 9, as we've been working through on Sunday evenings, is really the introduction to the book of Proverbs. In the last few months we've been listening, haven't we, to the wise father's voice to his son to pursue wisdom above everything else. And the wisdom that we've been listening into is really God's way in God's world. That's what the wisdom is that we've been considering. So that's chapters 1 to 9, this introduction. In the middle, between chapters 10 and 29, you really get the meat of Proverbs. That's where you get the familiar sayings, Proverbs sayings like, a soft anger turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, and so on. And there's hundreds there, which we could have spent years looking at together. But our plan really for that is to spend grow groups from January for a few months looking at that meat. So we will come to it. Don't worry. Don't feel shortchanged. We'll get there. But this evening, we're looking at chapter 30. We're going on to 31, which we also mentioned at the beginning of the series. And really, the last two chapters offer reflections, having spent time in the school of wisdom of 10 to 29, both reflections and then a model of wisdom in the woman of the noble wife that we meet in chapter 31. But this evening, we're tuning into the wise sayings of Agur from chapter 30. And in a sense, he speaks to us having already spent time in the school of wisdom, and he has a key lesson for us to learn. So we're going to do that together. Let me read Proverbs chapter 30 from verse 1 to verse 9. The sayings of Agur, son of Jakar, an inspired utterance. This man's utterance to Ithiel. I am weary, God, but I can prevail. Surely I am only a brute, not a man. I do not have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is the name of his son? Surely you know. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. Before turning there, let's pray together and ask God for his help. Our Father in heaven, we pray this evening that you would meet with us as we consider these your words from Scripture. We pray that they would be real wisdom to us. Father, thank you for the many things you've been teaching us through this series. And we pray that the lesson we hear tonight would guide us into this week and into the months ahead. That you would help us to understand and to apply to our lives the truths of this passage. So, Father, please hear our prayer. Please help us to engage with your word now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think there are two different types of education. There is the learning to drive type of education, and then there's the learning to teach type of education. So when you learn to drive, you start off with the really indiscreet learner plates, don't you? The L plates stuck on the window so everyone can see. And if you are a learner, if you've got the L plate in your window, you might be feeling particularly nervous as you're driving, but probably not as much or as nervous as those who are near you as you're driving along. But you start with an L plate until you pass. And then if you want to let everyone know that you've passed, you put a P in your window instead of the L, and everyone knows you've passed. And then eventually, when you're feeling really nice and confident, you remove the P, and then you've got no plates. So you start off a learner, you kind of graduate, you pass your test, you get the P, and then you get rid of the plates. You see, you don't need it anymore. You don't need those plates. You can drive. You can just do it, so you don't need the plates. That's the first type of learning, is the learning to drive type. And the second type of learning is like learning to teach. And it's a kind of system which you never, ever leave. So I don't know for you when your last exam was. Some of you might be thinking back years since you last took an exam. Some of you might be a couple of days or a week since you last took an exam. I've often thought at different points in my life, I'd come to the moment of a last exam or final essay submission, and then something else has come up. See, that's never quite been the case for me as I kind of pursued teaching and now as I started my role here. So for me, I finished school at the age of 18, kind of exams done, but then I went to university, exams done, but then I wanted to be a teacher, so I did PGCE, finished, going into ministry, so now doing theological training and so on. It's not ending, it keeps going. So there's learning to drive and there's learning to teach. You finish one, you never finish the other. Now, when it comes to the pursuit of wisdom, which learning do you think it is? As we've been hearing the call to pursue wisdom on Sunday nights, to live in God's world, His way, is that a call to kind of gain wisdom and then kind of graduate, take the L plates off and move on? Or is it a kind of call to keep getting wisdom? So is the pursuit of wisdom like learning to drive, or is it like learning to teach? And it's an important question. And as we turn back to chapter 30, Agar offers us an inspired utterance. I said twice, well, said once in verse 1. And put simply, he gives us an answer which is like this. You never graduate from God's school of wisdom. You never graduate from God's school of wisdom. You'll never be in a position where you can take the L plates off because you always have more to learn. If you think you've nailed wisdom as you've come this evening, then think again. The pursuit of wisdom is an ongoing, lifelong mission. It's like learning to teach. It's an ongoing learning experience. So as we round off our series on Sunday evenings, looking at the wise life, here is a key lesson for us to remember. We will never graduate the school of God's wisdom. So in order to remember this, here are three things modeled by Agar in chapter 30 that we need to keep saying to ourselves and to each other. So as you pursue the wise life, there's three things we need to learn. Keep saying to ourselves so we'll never forget that we have more to learn. And the first one's found in verse 1 to 3, which is really Agar saying, I am unwise. So as Agar has, as it were, sat at the table of wisdom that we saw last week, as he is chased after wisdom, how does he feel? How does he describe how he's feeling? Well, just look at verse 1 with me. He says, I am weary, God. He says, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm knackered, he says. Pursuing the wise life is hard work. But that's not all. Look at verse 2. He says, surely I am only a brute, not a man. I do not have human understanding. And into verse 3, I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One. As he's entered the school of wisdom, he's come to understand a big truth. He is unwise. As he's been fed wisdom for doing life God's way in God's world, he sees his ignorance. He recognizes his lack of knowledge. Wisdom has taught him that he is unwise. And so as he's reflected on this, he has a small view of himself. He humbles himself. That's why he describes himself as a brute. He says, I know nothing. I am unwise. I've still got much to learn. He recognizes that the L plates not only need to stay in the window, but an L needs to be kind of scraped into the bonnet, as it were. I am unwise. The Greek philosopher Socrates tried to capture a similar thought by saying, the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. He too recognized the need for humility in a quest to gain true wisdom. So I wonder, can any of you relate to that? Can you identify with Agar's wrestles here? Has the pursuit of God's wisdom, God's living in God's world, made you weary? Has God's wisdom in God's world brought you low? You see, I think many of you here tonight probably have experienced this or know this to be true. As we listen to God's wisdom through his word and as we seek to put it into practice, don't we find it tough and wearying and humbling at times? As we aim to live the wise life, we'll be confronted again and again with our inabilities and our lack of wisdom in situations. So, for example, God's word says, don't envy the rich or the wicked. And yet so often we do, because they seem to prosper when everyone else is failing. God's word calls us to be patient. But how often do I struggle to be patient? Patient with my kids, patient with answers for prayer, patient with myself. Even as we reflect on that proverb I mentioned earlier, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Haven't we experienced that, both in getting it right and in getting it wrong? And then even in the times where we perhaps have done things right, we've done things God's way in God's world, how often do we spoil that by getting puffed up with pride or seeking glory for ourselves? You see, we can relate with Agar, can't we? I am weary, God. Surely I am only a brute, not a man. It's interesting that the ESV translation goes much stronger. So it says, I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I am too stupid to be a man, it puts. We have so much to learn. We will never graduate from God's school of wisdom. For those of us who have been followers of Jesus for a while, I think there's a particular danger of thinking we can take the L plates off when we come to familiar passages of Scripture. So as we approach Christmas and we get the Bible, the Nativity story out again and we listen to it or we sing the familiar carols, it's really easy just to say, yeah, I know this, I've got it. I don't need to listen to this. It's just for those we've leafleted to this week. And yet, when we do that, we have the danger of just switching off and ignoring the truths and missing out on the essential things we need to hear again and again and again. It's really easy to switch off. And that's why, as you pursue the wise life, it's right to say, I am unwise. I still have much to learn. I will never graduate from God's school of wisdom. And friends, this is really brought home by the second thing, which is kind of in complete parallel to this. And it's that God is wise. So as you pursue the wise life, say, I am unwise, but God is wise. You see, Agar isn't just saying he's a little bit thick here or calling us to say, yeah, we're thick. By saying I am unwise, we're recognizing that God's wisdom is far superior to our own. As we pursue wisdom with God's help, we will only ever become more like God. We're never going to surpass him in his knowledge and his understanding. Jesus captured this in words found in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, when he said, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. I am unwise. God is wise. I need a small view of self and a big view of God. And this is the mantra of the wise life, isn't it? You see, just remember the heartbeat of Proverbs. Again and again it comes up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or beginning of knowledge. And it's also the continuation of the wise life. You see, the fear of the Lord is putting him in his right place. He is the Holy One. He is the wise one, the one whom we need to listen to. Without him, we are completely unwise. We need his help. This is highlighted for us in verse 4 as Agar asks some questions. Just listen to them again. in a minute once I've had some water. So verse 4, Agar starts asking questions. So firstly, who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son? Surely you know. See, what's the answer to all of these questions? Well, it's not Agar. It's not Tim. It's not you. The answer is the Holy One. The answer is our great God as he's revealed himself to us in the scriptures. I mean, thinking about this, it helped me this week as I read through John chapter 3. And there we see the words of Jesus in response to Nicodemus, who's a wise man of his day, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And Jesus explains there that a person must be born again in order to be saved. And then listen to the following conversation. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. Jesus responds, you are Israel's teacher and you do not understand these things. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. See, in Jesus, in describing himself as the Son of Man, he is the one who has come down from heaven to make God known, to save sinners. He is the one who is truly wise. And as we think about the other questions listed in our text that I've just read from verse 4, don't they remind you of Jesus? Don't they remind you of his incredible miracles of calming the wind and the raging seas? And how his name, through his global church, is, as it were, reaching to the ends of the earth that he made. And as we consider these questions again that Agar raises in verse 4, notice too that these questions are kind of active. They're not just about knowing something. So Agar doesn't say how many hairs, he knows all the hairs on your head or something, how many there are. See, these questions relate to action. And it's a reminder that wisdom and knowledge aren't just for kind of head capacity, filling your mind, but they are to flow into action. Which is why I think, as we've been thinking about the wise life, this wisdom is to feed into our lives, to help us to live wisely. We're not just filling our head with facts and knowledge like who this man Agar is. And it's just as well because no one knows, really. But God does, because he's wise. And God's actions, as we've seen in verse 4, they're tied up with his words. So look at verse 5 and 6. Agar writes, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. He says, every word of God is flawless. Every. It's not some. Every word of God is sufficient. Every word of God is perfect. Every word of God is reliable. Every word of God is true. It needs no addition, which is why there's a consequence in verse 6 for those who add to it. And sadly, many do add, don't they, to God's word or take away from it or twist it to suit their own way of thinking. But this is wrong. We are unwise. God is wise. What can we add to God's flawless word? Nothing. And yet, actually, there's still always a temptation to do so, isn't there? The world's wisdom, as it were, is so loud, so in your face, that we can doubt God's wisdom, God's word. We can doubt that it's flawless, particularly when much of our world's wisdom is so contrary to God's wisdom. See, haven't we seen at the top of many of our kind of political party campaigns and at the top of different businesses and even in sports teams that are public, haven't we seen them pushing forward things like gay marriage and abortion and gender neutrality? And aren't most adverts that we see in our newspaper on the screen, aren't they just bombarding us with different idols, the greed and sex and live in the now? And yet we're called here to remember God's word is flawless. He is wise. His word is perfect. It's all we need to live God's way in God's world. Even if the rest of God's world that he made think that's strange, we shouldn't be surprised. And we shouldn't be surprised because as we think of the fixed point in history of Jesus coming to die on a cross, that is foolishness in our world's eyes, and yet it's wisdom and it's truth for all who are saved, for all who take refuge in him because of it. So how do we keep pursuing the wise life in this world? Well, we keep saying these things. We keep saying, I am unwise. God is wise. We keep ourselves in the right place, and we keep God in his right place. So I guess the question to ask is, will you keep saying those two things? I am unwise. God is wise. Do you recognize that, in one sense, your own wisdom is foolishness, that we still need the L plates on? We're never going to take them off. Do you this evening believe that God is all wise, that his word is flawless, it's all that we need? And there's a wonderful picture actually in just in verse 5. There's a consequence of seeing God is wise, and it's just at the end of verse 5. So as we see God's word is flawless, as we kind of consider that he is all wise, what do we do, or what are we called to do? Well, it's to take refuge in him. As you pursue the wise life, say, I am unwise. Say, God is wise. And finally, Lord, I need help. And that's found in verse 7 to 9. You see, to live the wise life, we need help. We need the Lord to guard us and to guide us and to provide for us. We need him to intervene and to act. And so Agar asks the Lord for help, and in particular for two things. Let me just read verse 7 and 8 again. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Firstly, he says, Lord, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Keep me from being tripped up by the world's so-called wisdom. Please keep Lady Folly far away from me. Help me not to be sucked into the lives of this world. Help me to trust in your flawless word. Secondly, he says, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. And if you look to verse 9, you get the reason why for that. So verse 9, why is he asking just for daily bread? Well, verse 9, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. See, Agar's concern is to keep the balance between the first two things we considered. His concern is that if he gets rich, he may sin by disowning God. He may get too big for his boots and start kind of elevating himself and saying, yeah, actually, I'm quite wise, Lord. I've done pretty well for myself. Which I guess is a danger we can all fall into. See, how easy is it to fall into the trap of depending on ourselves rather than God when things go well? When you go through a time of no need, isn't it easy for it to dry up? And actually the fact that our church is going through a real time of suffering in different ways is in one sense an opportunity to say thank you to God, because as we do go through that time, what can we do? Well, all we can do is fall on our knees and say, Lord, we need help. Lord, help us. Agar also acknowledges that if he becomes poor, he may bring dishonor to God's name by falling into the sins of theft or something else. So his prayer is that God would provide all that he needs so that he would keep humble and be dependent on God. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Is that how you pray? Lord, give me what I need, not everything I want. I guess it's particularly challenging with Christmas coming up, isn't it? Lord, give me all that I need, not all the things that I want. And actually, isn't this how Jesus taught his disciples, how he taught us to pray? Give us today our daily bread. You see, if it's not just a daily thing, then actually, if you give us too much, then it's kind of, oh, we'll we'll just go from here for a while, Lord, until we don't have anything, and then we'll call out to you again. No, give me my daily bread. Give the things I need for today. Is this how we pray? Because this is a model to us of how we should pray. As you pursue the wise life, say, I am unwise. God is wise. Lord, I need help. And perhaps you've just joined us tonight and you're looking into the Christian faith. Well, let me tell you that these three things are really the process of how anyone becomes a Christian. So a person who becomes a Christian recognizes that actually, Lord, I'm unwise. Lord, I've lived my way in your world and I've got things wrong. And they get to that realization and then they realize, actually, Lord, I need to come to you because you are wise. You made me. You loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me. And then they start to trust in the wisdom of Jesus and his cross. And from that day, they continue to call and to ask the Lord for his help for each step. And so if you're looking in, may I encourage you to say these words tonight, personally. Ask the Lord to save you, to help you. I hope this time you've enjoyed looking at this book together. I hope you're excited about studying the middle chunk, which you need to write the studies for in January. But remember, if you're a follower of Jesus this evening, as you pursue the wise life, can we say these things together? One, two, three. I am unwise. God is wise. Lord, I need help. You see, we will never graduate God's school of wisdom. The L plates are never going to come off. And that's okay. That is a good place to be because it will keep us humble. It'll keep us calling out to the Lord and asking him for help. As you pursue the wise life, say, I am unwise. God is wise. Lord, I need your help. Let me pray. And then the band will come up and lead us in a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these sayings of Agur that have encouraged us and perhaps challenged us this evening. We want to reflect and say again that we are unwise. That so often we've done life unwisely as we've ignored what your word has said. Father, thank you that in your wisdom you have revealed yourself to us through your word and through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that through his death on the cross, through his resurrection and ascension, we can speak to you this evening and ask for your help, and he intercedes for us. Lord, may we never be proud to think as individuals or as a church that we can take the L plates off and we can do it alone from here. Help us to keep calling out to you, recognizing that we are unwise. We have so much to learn. Thank you that you're a great teacher, and we pray that you'd continue to teach us and to change us into the likeness of your Son. Help us, Lord, to keep calling out to you for help. Give us all that we need. Help us to trust you in your flawless words. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.